Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Hello. Welcome back to episode 2 of Be the Adult, the podcast. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Marisol. It's so great to see you.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited because we are going to do our first concept, first of the 15 concepts for Be the Adult, the nonprofit. We are trying to share content with the world to help improve the world by being the best parents we can be. Actually, absolutely. By being the best people we can be.
Yes.
So what can you tell us, what can our audience expect if they start applying these concepts into their life?
Yeah, so our goal, like Marisol said, when she said that, I lit up because I am so passionate about this and thankful that Marisol is too. We need to create a calm, safe environment in our home. I call it a system, a field. When you hear me say those words, it means our home. So our children can focus their energy inward on becoming their best selves. And so the 15 skills that we as the Be the Adult group came up with, it's a springboard really for life, a great foundation to start increasing our awareness of ourselves and how we show up, which means what we bring to the moment. Are we angry? Are we sad? Are we hurt? Are we scared? Are we stressed out? How are we showing up in that field, in that system that our children are swimming in? If you picture a body of water, whether it's a hurricane, a typhoon, or a calm, peaceful lake where they can float. And so we're going to focus at first on how we show up, what we bring to that moment. But before we get into that, I just really wanted to talk about having grace for ourselves, because while these concepts on paper are very simple, when you see them, they're extremely hard to do because, like we talked about in the first podcast, what we're bringing with us is all of our stuff in our backpack from our family of origin. And some of it's beautiful and some of it's not so beautiful.
The way I describe it, I'm not a therapist, though I'd like to play one on podcast. No, I'm kidding. But the way I describe it is some of this is conditioning. Like I was conditioned this way, and oh my gosh, I'm going to work it's going to take me a while to uncondition myself. Is that a word, unconditioned?
I would call it kind of reconditioned.
Reconditioned.
Yes. I like unconditioned. Just get rid of it, right?
I always consider it like layers. Like I have layers and I've got to shed this layer. And it has taken me a long time to learn to be nice to myself. Like I don't know if I told you this, but the name of my company that I incorporate all this under is actually called Be Kind to Yourself.
Oh, I love that. It's
Be Kind to Yourself, because I have to remind myself to be be nice to yourself. So that's the one thing I would say to the audience, if you start to apply these things, is it's sort of like going to yoga every day. Mm-hmm. You fall off the mat, you fall off your exercise mm-hmm. program, you stop running or something. You're going to have a slip up.
Yes.
Just be kind to yourself and just get back on the mat.
I love it.
Try again.
Yeah. I use a metaphor of climbing a mountain, because that's what parenting feels like often, like a really huge mountain. When we do the work and grow, the next day, 3 days later, 3 weeks later, we will fall down a bit, sometimes a lot. We stand up, we start walking up again, but that momentum, those steps we took up the mountain still count. We still did that.
You built some memory.
Absolutely.
Some muscle memory there.
Yeah. And this is a new language. Mm-hmm. I mean, if our parents weren't utilizing these skills, which most parents don't until you learn them. I didn't until I learned them. We're not going to know how to do this. And it's going to take, just like when you learn a new language or to play the piano, it's increasing your awareness, learning it, practice to form new neural pathways to be able to do this stuff.
I feel like it's a lifelong practice.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You know, anything worth doing is a practice.
Yeah, and if you think about it, there's so much value not only for us, but in showing our children that when we want them to learn to play the piano or learn French or learn to read or whatever they're learning to do or to play lacrosse, that they're not just going to go out there and nail it, that the value is in the journey, the value is in the effort. And we're modeling that for them, like, hey, you know what? I realize I want to be better at something, and I know this is what it's going to take, and I'm going to model that for you, and I'm going to have grace for myself when I don't go out there and get on first base. I just keep swinging, but yet I'm putting the effort into
I just
doing that. Yeah.
Thought of a funny story. I don't think you know this, but I've been part of Be the Adult since the inception.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so my children obviously have heard of it, see me practicing it. You know, they know everything about it. So my twins, who are 17 now, many of my son's friends helped us last year at our fundraiser.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So now when I fall off the mat or have a, you know, mom, what I call a not graceful mommy moment,
right.
My kid and my friends will like text me hashtag be the adult. So I don't know if I had ever told you that, but
I love it.
Now, and it's not a joke as in like we make fun of it, but when I'm not being okay. The best, it's like be the adult.
Right. I love it.
So I thought that was funny. So it will happen. This is not the end all cure for, you're not going to hit this, you know, 100%.
Oh no. Yeah, we just really need to have grace for ourselves. No, it's going to take time.
Repetition,
right? Practice, patience, owning that, you know, we are not perfect, but patting ourselves on the back for our effort to do this. Because what would it be like if every parent, you know, put 5 minutes, 10 minutes of effort into their kids every day?
Amazing.
Amazing.
So are there any directions you want to give them specifically before we start on the first concept?
Maybe just take a deep breath and pat yourself on the back for actually listening to us. And you're already on your path to growing by just being here. So thank you.
So the first concept, stay calm. It's incredibly important because it teaches children how to trust that we're going to peacefully handle any situation they bring to us.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches them that as a parent, I can behave calmly even when I'm upset.
Absolutely.
So before I hand off this section to you, I would just like to say to my children who are probably going to listen to this, I don't want to hear it. But
so I should just catch and hold that and not ask you to no, expand.
Okay. I'm kidding. But can you tell us how? How do we stay calm?
Yeah.
What are some tips that you would give our audience on this?
Yeah.
Or why is it important to you?
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to expand on that a little bit first. So to me, this is the foundation, right? Because when stuff comes in, whether you want to call it shit or crap, other people's stuff, our stuff, when it's coming in, right, we go into that kind of caveman brain, right? And we become what we call dysregulated. Like the smart part of our brain turns off and we're in our emotions and we think there's a tiger in front of us.
I call that the Latina in me.
Oh, okay.
You can call it deregulated.
Okay. Yeah, all of us, we all have names for it, right? We become dysregulated and we're not our best selves. How is that? Is that right? So we need to help our bodies calm down so we can use the smarter part of our brain to interact and realize, no, that is not a tiger in front of me. That is my 4-year-old who doesn't want to go to bed, or my 17-year-old who wants to wear something skimpy to school, right? So staying calm really helps us be our best selves by calming our bodies down. And it also is modeling for our children how we want them to be in life when we trigger their stuff, when somebody else does, that we're modeling for them how to be their best self. And so really the first part of the how is calming our bodies down so we can use the brain and these tools that we're learning. And so if any of you practice yoga, Pilates, any type of exercise is going to help you proactively get to this space in a quicker manner, meditating. Go ahead.
No, I was going to add meditation.
Meditation is beautiful. So anything we can do proactively in life, taking long walks, whatever we can do, journaling, to help us show up to the moment from a calmer perspective is going to be really helpful. And then in the moment when you are actually triggered, and triggered means stuff's coming in, that my breath changes, I'm clenching my fists, my shoulders are hunched up, I'm clenching my jaw, my voice is getting louder, right? So anything that's causing me to come off of my even.
Yeah, I would describe it, when your body gets tense, you're stressed, I feel like I'm out of my body. Like,
exactly.
That's how, I'm not centered, I'm not grounded. It's like...
Yeah, you're knocked over.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my office, my clients will laugh because I'll stand up when I teach this. I won't do it right now. But when I'm hopping on one foot in life. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm hopping on one foot as a parent, right? Or if you think about in your work or even at the grocery store, when you're hopping around, it's much harder to be your best self, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And to use your smart brain in your head and your heart and all of that. So what I want to do is become centered, what we call grounded, which, so I have 2 feet on the ground and I can walk through life and catch the stuff coming towards me and give it back if it doesn't belong to me, mm-hmm. or let it bounce off of me.
And can I just speak to that stuff, which, you know, I'm going to call it shit.
Sure.
I had a podcast called Shit You Can't Make
Up. There you go.
Because life, I believe, this is my personal feeling, speaking for myself, is set up, this life that we live is set up to constantly throw us shit.
Test us. Yeah.
I have now come to a place where I say these are just opportunities for me to practice, you know, forgiveness, compassion.
And growing.
But basically, everyone, I don't care who you are, life will throw shit at you.
Absolutely.
And we get triggered. Yes. And sometimes I think children are inadvertently affected by the shit that comes into our life.
Absolutely.
Like, you have a bad day at the office and you're in a bad mood and your boss, you know, snapped at you or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. your car, you got a flat tire, you come home. And that energy has to go somewhere. And sometimes, unfortunately, our children get that energy. It's not the best way.
Right.
Is that?
Exactly. I love how you put that. If you picture a calm pool, the swimming pool, but you walk into the pool when you're all stirred up, right? The water around you is going to become stirred up. And then our children are in that water with us. And it's going to... I always mix metaphors, but it's going to bleed onto them, right? So even when we have the best intention of not letting our kids know what's going on or how we feel, they still feel it because it's our energy. And so absolutely. So getting ourselves as calm as possible is important. What I always say is that we can't stop the shit from coming in, right? We can choose who we're around, but we still can't control anybody else in this world, right? Or anything that happens. So, except ourselves. So we do need to be aware, grounded in a space that we're aware enough that is shit coming in. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, what do I need to do? Because I don't want to get sucked into it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So the first step is awareness, right?
Right. So the first step for changing anything, if you don't notice that your wallpaper in your house is peeling, you're not going to know that you need to change it, right? So every single thing comes to awareness, right? Begins with awareness. Right. And I always say that I have my fingers over my eyes, that most of us have somewhat of an awareness level, especially people listening to this, which I appreciate. But what we want to do in life is take our blinders off. So, and there's the blessing and the curse in that, right? When we...
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. When we can take the blinders off, we can actually see the shit and mm-hmm. smell it, right? Mm-hmm. And cool, good, because then I know it's uncomfortable and then I have the opportunity to change it if I choose to. But if I don't have the awareness of the shit that I'm swimming in or that I've created or that's around me, well, then I'll always be in it. And mm-hmm. I can't change it. Mm-hmm. And then picture your kids in that too, mm-hmm. right? Which
Hope. You don't want your children swimming in shit. No. No one does. Universally, 100%. I can speak for everyone in the world. No one wants yes. our children. And, but that's why. We want to stay calm and grounded. And I want to speak to any listeners who might be like, oh, this might be a little hippy-dippy. It is one of the most important life changes for me that I had to incorporate in my life in staying calm when I get triggered, because I you know, my story of origin, my Latina heritage, it's like, whew, you know, it just scorched earth from the minute I used to get triggered. It took me a lot of, at first I had to be aware mm-hmm. that I was doing it. And you gave me this example of the energy. Like if this energy, let's say, you know, in the height of my divorce, for example, if I was super stressed or anxious or, mm-hmm. You know, had that energy, I had to work very, very hard to try not to bring that energy home. And the yeah. first step I had to do was calm myself. I personally, for me, yoga and meditation and now, you know, personal practices that I've incorporated.
Right.
It's far and few between when the Latina gets triggered. It happens, you know.
To all of us, yes.
But it's first it was maybe day to day. And then that daytime went from week to week to, oh, it's been a month since the last time I...
Beautiful.
And then it goes further and further, right. And it'll still happen. You'll right. still get triggered, but and some of these concepts, I will say, I know we're talking to the stay calm one. Some of them are instant, like you can incorporate them easily because maybe you already kind of do that.
Right.
Some of them, some of you listening, maybe you're just, your personality is calm all the time, so this doesn't resonate with
right.
you.
Well, can I speak yeah. to that? So calm doesn't mean that we're checked out, because a lot of parents will say to me, well, I'm super calm, Nancy. And then as I'm talking to them, I notice that, yes, they're calm, but I don't really feel like they're there with me. And so in my book, when we're talking about, and I'm sorry, in our literal Be the Adult book, when we say stay calm, we're talking about being calm and present, right? Because most of us can be calm when we're checked out, when we're in Tahiti, right, in our head, or thinking about something down the road or something from history. But it's a real skill being present and being calm. So being in the shit, having it come towards us, whether it's our child drawing on the wall or our 17-year-old getting caught smoking pot at school or our, 8-year-old who bullied someone or whatever it is, really hard to stay calm in that tense
moment.
In that tense moment. And so the really staying calm is learning how to be present and self-regulated, right? Because one of our main goals as parents is to teach our children self-regulation, teaching them how to walk through life on 2 feet, mm-hmm. right? They look to us when they're little to self-regulate, to self-soothe, and to help them be their best selves. And as they grow, the hope is that we're teaching them, we're still there guiding them and modeling, but we're helping them really learn to do this for themselves. And so in the moment, the how is to literally calm our bodies down by first and foremost taking some deep breaths. However deep breathing works for you. What I do, I don't remember where I learned this, but... you smell the flower, blow out the candle. So you breathe in through your nose, and then you blow out through your mouth, and you can feel the air coming out. There are many different ways to breathe.
You can YouTube countless. There's a term for it in yoga called pranayama.
How do you say that?
Pranayama.
Okay.
I'm killing the pronunciation, okay. but you can look it up on YouTube. There's countless breathing exercises.
Right.
There's a whole science behind yes. it. So, you know, search what works for you.
Absolutely.
Again, there's infinite ways to practice it, but it's amazing to me how breathing isn't the number one go-to for any health issues.
Right.
Because it's what gives us life is right. breath. And I now notice it in anyone, in my friends, in any group social setting, I can tell when someone's holding their breath.
Yes.
I see it, and I'll be like, you need to breathe. I don't know how many times I've actually said that, like, breathe.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I love your awareness. And we can help ourselves by just really noticing, like, say for today, I want to notice what my breath does. Really increasing what we call our awareness functioning of what our breath does when we're angry versus hurt versus sad versus scared versus calm and joyful. Because if we really take the time to notice, we will see and feel, more importantly, the differences, the variations in our breath. And so I think that's a good place to start. Even stand in front of the mirror and kind of notice what your baseline is. Notice what your breath does when you are in more of a calm space, because then it's going to help you when you're not in a calm space, catch yourself at the very beginning of your, what we call dysregulation, before you get...
Before it escalates,
right? So when you're at, you know, start at zero, when you're maybe starting to inch up to 10, mm-hmm. we want to notice it, because it's so much easier to come down from 10 than from, obviously, from 60.
I was just going to say, I look at it as like your check engine light.
Yeah, there you go.
That's,
I love that.
That's my, like... Yeah. Because I... And some things, for me personally, I hold my breath. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, my body will breathe when it needs to continue living. Right. But when I'm tense, when I'm, it's I hold it. I hold it in my, what area is this?
Right under your neck, your chest.
My chest area. Yeah. It's like right here. It's just, that's where my, I want to use the word anxiety. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's where it starts for me.
Sure.
And so people don't even realize that they're holding their breath.
Right.
It's not just like you're breathing. Like,
right.
You're holding it. Yeah.
And how can you be your best self? How can you use your smart brain when you don't have, you know, enough oxygen to come in? So, and then after the awareness of our breaths, we really want to count. It's classic behavior modification. You want to give yourself space between stimulus and response, right? What your child's doing, or anyone for that matter, and then what you do. And so just giving yourself, counting to 10. If you're more triggered, counting to 30. If you're acutely triggered, if you can't count high enough, then you actually kind of exit the situation, as long as it's safe to do so for your children. Because then what will come out will not be so pretty. And once something comes out, we all know you can't take it back. So literally the focus on the how is calming our bodies down, allowing ourselves to be able to use what we know and the beautiful part of us that we bring to the moment. And so again, it's proactively in life trying to get ourselves engaging in the behaviors and the exercises and the practices that help us be calmer in life. And then in the moment, literally allowing our bodies to be as calm as possible on 2 feet, grounded, so we can be balanced and move through the situation, and through our breath and through actually taking some time. A lot of parents will say, but I have to answer my kid right away. Because that's who, right? We believe that we need to tell them right away whether they can do something or they can't. And if we don't know, which more often than not we don't, we say, right, we're going to listen to them. This is another skill, but validate with it. Show them that we hear them, and then say, you know what, I'm not sure what the consequence to this behavior will be, or if you can go out with your friends Friday night, but I'm going to take some time and think about it, and I'll let you know after dinner tonight or tomorrow morning. Because that's what we want them to do. Mm-hmm. When they're unsure of something, we want them to actually calm themselves, ground themselves, be able to think through things, and then respond.
So I have a question. Sure. So let's say someone decides to it listens to this episode and decides to incorporate this into their life. Mm-hmm. So they go home tonight and their husband, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something. Their husband ate a late lunch, so the home-cooked meal you just spent hours goes...
Do people do that still?
But you get triggered. This mystical woman gets triggered. And the husband exits and the child walks in. That's not a good example. Let's use the child. Let's say you get home and you get triggered and you incorporate this. You check in. You're like, okay, I'm feeling tense here. Mm-hmm. Taking a few deep breaths. I'm going to count to five. Mm-hmm. And your child's looking at you like you have three heads because they've not experienced this before.
Right.
Do you tell your children that you are trying these new practices? Do you let people know that you are trying this so that they know what's going on? Or
Absolutely. I love that you asked that question. Yes. So, sorry, I was laughing because cooking to me means opening a bag or picking something up. But anyway, yes, really, if you think about it, when you ask yourself that question, ask yourself what you'd want your child to do. What do I want to show my child? And that's typically the answer that we're looking for. So I want my child in life to be mindful, aware of when he or she is triggered, and then to think about, right, what he or she needs to do to help him or herself be their best self. So I would say absolutely. I would even start by saying, hey guys, I'm learning some new tools and skills because I want to be my best self. I deserve that. I deserve to feel more peaceful in life. And you certainly deserve to have my best self guide you, help guide you through life. And so you're going to see me doing some things that are really unfamiliar to you. And as we all know, unfamiliar things are uncomfortable at first just because we haven't been through them before, right? Even though it's healthy, it's going to be strange, weird to our children, whatever word they use. So great question. So I would say, hey, sweetie, guess what? I am learning some new tools. They're Greek to me right now. It's going to take me time. I'm not going to be perfect at these for a while, but I want to do this and I'm going to practice. And so you're going to see me taking some deep breaths and counting to help me calm myself down, get myself to a space where I can use all of me to make a situation peaceful and to hopefully interact with you in a way that you deserve. Did I answer your question?
You did. But then I have a second one, which might be a little bit more complicated. But so I'm thinking in a nuclear family. Mm-hmm. If one parent is trying to do this and maybe a second go take your, you know,
gobbledygook,
your woo-woo stuff and
stick it in a box.
I'm going to go watch the game now. No, I'm kidding. But if you have a spouse that's not on this journey with you, I'm single, so that's not my problem.
Right.
But I'm just imagining that that might come up.
Yes.
What advice would you give to a listener whose partner is not
on board? Great question. That happens more often than not. That's actually the norm. Yeah. So one person typically seeks change before the other. And I'm just going to back up for a moment. What happens is we try to pull people with us in life. And if you can literally, I'll stand up in my office and try to yank someone with me, and I'll tell my client, now have resistance. Don't let me pull you. And I say, well, notice, how does that feel? Doesn't feel good. It takes a lot of energy, right? And how do you think it feels to the person you're trying to pull? And so they're going to dig in probably even more deeply and have more of what we call resistance. So I wouldn't do that. What I would say instead is, this is how I'm going to be. Independent of anyone else in this world, I know that this stuff takes good care of me. I have confidence that it works. I trust the people who taught it to me. I want to teach it to my child. I can't control what anybody else in this world is modeling for my kid, but I can control what I am. And I know I'll feel better, and hopefully they will too. And so I'm going to show up this way. And then the hope is, and I see this more often than not always, but that the other partner, adult, air quotes, in the room, notices that I'm showing up happier. My children are starting to interact differently. And then the hope is then they want, that's the operative word, they want then to learn this stuff for themselves. And then they try to seek out growth, whatever that looks like, instead of us trying to pull them. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Because I could actually see a scenario where possibly it could become acrimonious. Where,
oh, for sure.
You know, so I'm glad that, you know, we touched on that, because I can imagine a scenario where you get really excited, you go home and like, we're going to do this starting today. And you've got to want to do it for yourself.
Absolutely.
It's a self-practice. It's not a, you know, a strategy.
Right. And in trying to get the other person, you're going to create more conflict, more tension, right? Mm-hmm. The opposite of what you want. And just remember, please, the issues that we're presenting today are really just the infancy of the idea. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to Google, how do I stay calm? How do I self-regulate? What type of practices can I seek out? What's the science behind this? What's actually happening in my brain?
Nervous system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I don't feel calm. So please take these initial concepts that we put out and explore them and how they see how they work for you.
And I would like to piggyback on that to say, you know, I meditate, yoga. Mm-hmm. You jog, which, you know, is a can get you into a meditative state.
Yes.
Tell people I work with is there's not one way to do it. And anyone that tells you that there's this the only way to meditate or this is the only way to you're all like a fingerprint or snowflake.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Just find what works for you. Uh-huh. I know for me personally, something that changed my life was incorporating a lot of this in my morning. Mm-hmm. Before I even get out of bed, I've set an intention.
Absolutely.
I've calmed myself. I've done exercises so that my day starts off from this baseline. Yes. But it took me years, you know, to get to that point to find that practice.
Absolutely.
So find your own practice. I know for me in the beginning, it was very hard for me to be in my body.
Yes.
That concept was very hard for me.
For many of us.
Yes. And it took me a while to learn. And I remember you taught me this, which was the senses, to use my senses.
Yes.
What am I feeling at this moment? Do I smell? What do I see? To bring me back into a space. Because sometimes when I get, or used to, it's not really now, but when I started this process.
Yes.
Excuse me. When I started this process, it was really hard for me to even understand the concept of being in my body.
Yeah.
So I would like to let people know, like you said, take these concepts and delve into it more deeply. For yourself.
Yeah. Can I piggyback on that a little bit? Yeah. And a lot of us, you know, I could spend 12 podcasts talking about this, have experienced trauma in our life as a child or as we've gone on our journey. And so our comfort level with our body, there's a wide range, right, a spectrum of that. And so please be aware, anything that we talk about, please be aware that both of us really want, first and foremost, that we honor ourselves and where we are. And we wouldn't want to push our children, and we don't want to push ourselves. So it's important to grow. It's more important to grow safely, right? So we need to be aware, if our body doesn't feel congruent, we call it, in what we're doing and being calm, then we need to step back and notice that and be aware and explore that a little bit. What Marisol was talking about, any data you can take in through your five senses, just what you learned in kindergarten, right? My mom taught kindergarten for 30 years. So what you see, touch, taste, hear, or smell is present data. Any other data is past or future. And the only place we can actually create change is in the present moment. So the only space we can actually, right, help our children, guide them down their path and create some change for themselves is in the present moment. And so getting ourselves in the present moment is really important to being able to be calm. Because most of the time, my hope is that we're all in environments that aren't traumatic on a daily basis. And most of the time we can handle what's then right in front of us when we're present. But when we're only on one foot and we have one foot in our history and some trauma or some other stuff we've been through is present with us, or our worry about the future, we're not going to be able to be our calm selves. Our backpacks will be triggered, and I'm probably going too deeply into this.
I just wanted to throw that out there because the concept of being calm, I think the precursor to that is, you know, like we said, the awareness, but maybe that concept of being in your body for some. Uh-huh. And, you know, I probably at this point, if we're going to do the 15 podcast, I'm a great example of this only because I did have a traumatic childhood. So, you know, I'll share with that so that people can understand that when I speak of these things, it is with the hope to help people.
Right.
It was very hard for me to be, that concept was hard because I did not have a calm childhood.
Right.
Childhood. And it was violent. It was a violent child. So this one is especially important to me. I always joke with my children. I have a quirky sense of humor. I was like,
I love it.
I don't beat you, so I'm good. I've already done better than the last generation, so.
I'm taking a deep breath. Nobody can see it. But yeah.
So, like, I'm taking a knee. I'm kidding. But so from that, you know, incredibly dark story of origin, it was very, my baseline was I wasn't even in my body to be here. So for most people, I hope the concept of being calm, taking a couple deep breaths, you know, checking your breath is a great place to start. There might be a population of people who have more work to do. And
there is.
If any of this resonates with you, I think we probably should say, always seek counseling.
Absolutely. There's so much great research that's been done and still going on in how to help heal the trauma that we've been through. And it's, I think, more of us than not. So just want to normalize that. Yeah. That unfortunately, many of us, I can't pull the statistic from my brain right now, but have been through some form of trauma. And so we really need to be mindful of encouraging yourself to grow and also consistently checking in with yourself, knowing when you need some extra support to grow and really seeking some assistance with that and some support.
Okay. So do you have anything else to add on our first topic?
I think that's it. Just know that while this is the first concept and might seem on paper basic, it's probably one of the very hardest and one of the most important, because utilizing the following skills from a place of being dysregulated, not calm, reactive, whatever word that we choose, is not going to set us up to be the parent we want to be.
Well, thank you. So what's our next topic? I believe will be behave gently. Mm-hmm. So we're going to dig a little deeper on that. So if you thought being calm was interesting, let's listen. Make sure to check out episode 3 on behaving gently.
Yes. So, thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, find the book on our website. We are a nonprofit, so if you'd like to make a donation, if you feel that this content was of any use to you, please share. If you know someone you'd like to suggest that they could work on being calm, here you go. Share the link and spread the word. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Be the Adult podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. A special thank you to a few of our Barn Dance Barbecue fundraiser sponsors for their generous support. Rees Architecture, Coastal Carolina Radiation Oncology, Nunnally Fine Archtop Instruments, Delaney Radiology, Wilmington Gastroenterology. See you on the next episode of Be the Adult Podcast.